Okay, today is October 9th, 23. I'm not a up. I don't know which mobile news, but it's either mobile news or regular mobile news, but for sure, it's mobile podcast. And I hear my good friend now. Paul Lawler was sitting Bobo Bao, which is kind of a fusion place. It's got like Korean food and Chinese food.
And Vietnamese.
And Vietnamese. So it's, let's call it fusion, Asian fusion. So we'll post pictures of food we ate. What did you have?
I had the the Mandarin beef, was it, I think?
Yeah.
And it said it had peppers in it. And I thought it meant green peppers, but it did not mean green peppers. It meant red chili peppers. And they are very spicy.
Big chunky ones.
Yeah, big chunky ones.
Yeah, not like powder or something. Oh, so I had their classic, actually, they didn't call it ramen, right? They called it sain ramen. Yeah, with wonton in it. Just basically a dumpling with pork. There's pork inside of it. It was really good. I have photos of it. And I also, as a carbohydrate cheat day for the already noodle, I also got a boba drink, which I love.
And their noodle dishes have a lot of meat.
It was very filling. Yeah. A lot of noodles, a lot of veggie. I really like it. I thought it's really worthwhile. So that was, what's your favorite?
Welsh rarebit.
I don't even know what that is.
It's kind of like cheese on toast.
Okay.
So Welsh rarebit is, when I was a kid, I thought my mom was saying Welsh rabbit. It is not rabbit, however, it is cheese. So it's melted cheese that you pour over like toast or cracker. So it's kind of like macaroni and cheese without the macaroni.
Sounds like both, but melted, but real cheese.
But real cheese. Not not nuclear orange cheese.
Well, that sounds good. I'm trying to, I don't know. Deciding. And you know, when we were in Alaska, we couldn't get it at all. And so we moved back to Hawaii. My mom had the grocery list of stuff that I hadn't been like buffalo.
It's interesting what people have as their childhood food, right?
Yeah.
In Japan, if you ask most people,
yeah,
it's curry rice.
Well, that is crazy because curry is almost new to Japan, right? It's like 100 years old or less. It's like a foreign food.
Well, and I mean, that's true also in the UK too. Curry is now ubiquitous in the UK, you know, going out for a curry.
Sure.
And yet that's basically from the time when the UK ruled India.
Ah.
And that's when they introduced curries.
And Japanese curry is different from other curry. It's less hot, sometimes more sweet. It's a very different experience. If you got Indian curry or even Thai curry, they're all like different.
Yeah, generally sweeter and thicker.
Yeah. And I know I can't, even the mild Indian curry is too hot. I like it. It's just too hot for me. I'm kind of like sweating bullets, you know, trying to eat it. It's still enjoying it. Wow. Not designed.
Kind of like my Mongolian beef bao.
a little hot. But anyway, in addition to the mobile food stuff, which we're going to talk about, and I hope I have our microphones positioned properly, we did a lot of testing before we started. Hopefully the volumes will be okay. Paul has bought a... Paul is like my other friend, you know, Alex, who's on the podcast many times. Between the two of them, I buy everything, so I don't have to. I can just look and say, oh, did we get his thing? Like, oh, I can't afford that. I already showed him the first Amazon Echo, and I said, but it's...
Well, and now they're
cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought the fifth generation Echo Dot, and, well, actually, a couple months ago, because there was a sale. I think I got it for $30, and it might have come with a Wi-Fi bulb, and it's a... Amazon Eero endpoint.
Right.
So it can extend my network. $30.
Right. And did you buy the one that has the clock face on it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because that was twice.
So I got it as a deal.
Yeah.
And I think it was $39.
Oh, that's a good deal.
With the light bulb and clock face.
Yeah.
So I bought one for myself and I bought one for my grandson who just went off to college.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, here, this is so you can wake up in time for class.
Yo. But yeah, so that's quite a deal. But anyway, so I really came to ask that we have lunch with me for mobile food and to talk about his new 3D printer. But he also showed me a new toy. What's that?
Chessa. So this is one of my few successful Kickstarter ventures. I have spent a lot of money on Kickstarter that went banished into the digital ether.
Right.
However, this particular device actually eventually showed up outside my door, and it's wonderful. It's really well made.
Yeah.
It has extra pieces with it. When it first came, the software was a little bit glitchy, but they keep putting out updates for the software, updates for the firmware on the board. And essentially what it is a chessboard where when you turn it on, it senses the positions of all the pieces. And when it's your turn to make a move, if you just touch a piece, right, it will tell you all the possible legal moves for that piece. And then if you turn on the assistant, the AI assistant, it will evaluate those moves. So it'll say, okay, these are the legal moves, and I'm going to light these up in blue. And then these are the good moves, I'm going to light them up in green. And these are the really bad moves, and I'm going to light those up in red.
Right.
So you kind of learn not to make mistakes, hopefully.
And when it's not active, don't know there's lights around. I'm looking at it now. And until he touches something, you don't see any lights.
Right.
It's sort of amazing. And then all of a sudden you touch a piece and you see some lights light up. And when you touch a piece, it's the lights light up specifically for that piece. And we're sitting outside of a restaurant. We do have Wi-Fi, but I don't think you're connected to anything. This board is not connected to anything at
the moment. The board connects via Bluetooth to your phone. It is not connected right now.
Okay.
But if I turn on the app on my phone, this is where it really gets powerful because it has a basic AI capability.
Built in. Yeah.
But if you connect it to your phone, instead of like 6 levels of AI, you get 30 levels.
Wow.
And which means that it can play Grandmaster level.
Wow.
And also, if you connect it to your phone, yeah, you can record the game.
Right.
You can play, you can like download a game.
Right.
And so you can set up positions for yourself or for somebody else, right? And like a challenge kind of right. thing. You can also connect it to something called LyChess, LyChess, or chess.com. And so you can play real people online. They're making the moves online, and it tells your board where they're moving. So you can have the experience of playing on a board with people on the other side of the world playing on.
And when you see the photo, it's a really nice.
And if somebody else has a board, you can play board to board remotely as well.
And when the other person moves, will it light up?
Yeah.
On their side. Like
yeah.
If you're playing white, they're glad.
Right. So your moves, I mean, when you move, yeah,
right,
it tells you where you can legally move.
Right.
Then after you make the move, it tells you where your opponent wants
right.
to move. So if you're playing with a real opponent
right.
and they make a move, it'll light up and show you, oh, they moved a rook to c3 or whatever.
Right. And it does have the alphabet and numerical. So you don't have to have it memorized.
Right.
Next best player.
Yeah. And not only that, but you don't even have to, when it says rook to c3,
no,
you don't have to figure out where that is. It actually lights up
yeah,
the
lights
path
up
for you.
Right. That's pretty good. I have a terrible chess player, so I will not even. And I'm even worse at Go. My grandfather used to give me a 9-piece advantage. And Paul's laughing because he knows what that means. And I never beat him ever.
Well, and actually, it was the algorithms beat chess before they beat Go.
Yeah, because Go is much more much more complicated. But I think my grandfather might have been actually ranked. I am ranked at like bad, that's my rank. Bad level 1. All right, okay. My other question, well, the real reason I didn't know you had this until we got to lunch here. So Paul sent me a photo the other day, texted a photo on it. Ooh, he bought it. I've always wanted one. I've always been afraid to buy one because I don't know where you put it. This one didn't look super big. It didn't look super small, but
it's not super small, but
yeah,
it's not super big.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted one too, except they seem to me like the ultimate thing that you have to tinker.
Yeah.
And everyone who I knew who had one was always talking about how they had to mod their printer to do this and mod their printer to do that. And they had to add this and they had to add that. And they had to download some special software patch to do this or that. And they were constantly trying to, you know, do things with the filament and
right.
and do things to clean the nozzles. And just, it sounded like it was way more trouble than it was worth.
So in our youth, Paul, it sounds like the folks, I don't know if you did it, I did. It sounds like the people leaning who bought like a 57 Chevy,
yeah,
which I think old back then, even in our youth, it was old. And then they modded the heck out of it. And it didn't look like a 57 Chevy at the end.
my dad's good friend that he worked with on an old Porsche, and my dad used to joke that he would tinker with it 6 days a week to drive 50 miles on the 7.
So this is a non-tinkerer.
So anyway, my friend Baron Sakia, who some of you some of our five listeners may know, Barron kept talking to me about 3D printers, right. And he kept bringing these little doodads, little right. TIE fighters right. things that he had 3D printed. And so he said, you know, there's this really good one, and it's going to be on sale for Prime Day, and you should take a look at it. So I took a look at it, and then I started looking at some YouTube reviews. Big mistake, right? Looking at YouTube reviews is always a big mistake.
Yeah,
because invariably, all the reviews I looked at said, you know, this one is okay, but it's really an imitation of this other one. And this other one is still much better. So as good as the Creality is, it's an imitation of the Bamboo Lab one. Bamboo Lab one is still way better.
That's one you're using.
That's one. Mm-hmm. So the problem with the Bamboo Lab one is, it is the Apple of 3D printers.
That sounds like a good thing.
Well, good and bad. What's good about Apple, right? It just works, right?
Right.
Take it out of the box, it just works. What's bad about Apple? You have to buy it from Apple. You can't buy one of these from Amazon. It never goes on sale on Prime Day. It actually only went on sale because they introduced a new one. And the entire sale, the $100 off that I got,
yeah,
was completely eaten up by the $130 shipping charge.
Oh, shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's heavy.
It's about 30 pounds. So it's not as heavy as I thought it was going to
be. Yeah.
And then you buy this plastic filament.
Right.
And it turns out that there's not just one kind of plastic filaments. There are a dozen different kinds of plastic filaments. There are filaments that are good for low temperature printing, for high temperature printing, for UV resistance, for flexibility, for strength. And some of them are quite toxic. Like, you have to have an enclosure for your printer and a venting system so that you're poisoning your neighbors instead of yourself.
Shades of your college chemistry
lab.
Yeah. So did you buy a chemistry lab?
I did not. I just print with the less expensive filament. And I thought, this has got to be relatively expensive
right.
for the film, but it's not. You can get 2 kilograms of filament for $25.
So that's 4.4 pounds.
Yeah. And that, I still have yet to use up my first spool.
That sounds a lot like a 4.4. I mean, that's like a...
Yeah, it's a round spool.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing I learned from this is Barry told me, oh, the first thing you should print is these little containers. And he sent me the print file to print the containers. He goes, print these little containers, and these will hold desiccant. So instead of buying the packets of desiccant that you have to throw away, you buy this loose desiccant, and you put it in the container.
Right.
And when it changes color, then you can put it in the microwave or put it in the oven, and it will dry it out, and then you can reuse it.
And I got to say, the threads on that little container you made for it, it's perfect. I mean, when I played with it and I unscrewed and screwed back on, there was no resistance either direction.
Yeah, and all of this prints without any support or anything. If you're printing something like let's say a tree, yeah. right, where the trunk comes up and the branches come out, it obviously can't print over empty air, so it will build actual plastic supports. It'll build a very thin wall of plastic to support the places where it has to bridge. And then you just snap those off when you're done.
I took a photo of some of the stuff of Paul's printed, including a gecko that's about 6 inches long, 7 inches long. And when you look at it in the photo, you're going to say, oh, how did he put that together after he printed? He told me it came out like with all the movable parts.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how things that articulate and move actually print in place.
Yeah, this is really cool. And did you have to buy a special table that's really heavy, or did you already have a nice?
I have a nice heavy table, but it's in my living room. Eventually, my wife will want it to leave the living room.
Especially with the smell. Oh, is there a smell?
So different filaments have different smells. The toxic ones smell really bad, which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. You want it up.
The PLA is not too bad. The PET filament, which is like PET bottles are made from, that one smells a little more, and it also has higher heat and is a higher tensile strength. So yeah, the stuff that I'm using has like no UV resistance. If I let this sit out in the sun
right.
for the duration of our podcast, it would be.
So this is not good for the outdoors.
Because it melts at, I think, 55 degrees Celsius.
That's pretty low.
Which is pretty low. Right? You think, oh, that's quite high, but if it's sitting out of the sun,
yeah.
not that, Not that high.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it in my head. I was 100 degrees Celsius is 12, 50 degrees, 40. And like Paul said, and you might think that's really hot, but if you go outside in Hawaii on a sunny day and you point an infrared thermometer at your wall on the outside where the sun's hanging, it'll be 140 degrees.
Yeah. Or the dashboard of your, or black dashboard of your car.
Right. So don't put in dashboard your car.
I mean, lots of times I've left my phone up on the dash and had my phone start beeping and going, you've got to shut me off. I'm overheating.
In fact, when the last time we recorded this podcast in person, I was using an Android phone with this wireless lav mic set up. And you remember I got a thermal warning on my Pixel 7a, which still has not gotten Android OS 14, by the way. I've tried to force it like every day, five times a day. Pixel tablet got it day one.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know, but, at any rate, yeah, so I switched to an iPhone. It's a same brand lav mic that I used last time, but they sent an updated version because the last one didn't record volume well on an iPhone. I don't know why. Any iOS device, not just iPad also. It worked perfectly on Android. So this one's got, it's still USB-C, but it's got a USB-C to Lightning for my iPhone 14 Pro. And it seems to work. We did a couple of tests before we started to make sure, you know, this whole podcast. And it's, see, we're 19 minutes in plus the test, so a little, and I still haven't gotten a thermal warning. Well, and it's pretty warm. I'm going to guess it's in the mid-80s. Although we are in.
Speaking of thermal warnings, you miss all the excitement of the iPhone 15.
I've been reading about it, and I almost canceled my order. But that's fixed now, right?
With whatever. The latest software update fixed it completely.
17.0.3 or right. Something like that. I'm still waiting for one. I think it's writing it, so hopefully my wife will go outside immediately.
Well, I set my alarm for 1 a.m. on September 15th and ordered it, and it took me, I'm going to say, 30 tries to get in. I mean, it kept, you would try to go to the website. Right. Actually, I did the pre-order, so I had everything set up.
Right.
But just to actually get in and finalize it took me about 30 tries.
So, you know, I have an iPhone 14 Pro right now, and I had no intention of upgrading this. Again, I'm a poor retiree. I should not be spending money necessarily, but my carrier sends me an email saying, hey, you know, we'll give you $1,000 to trade in your 14 Pro. I said, is it 50 that much? And oh, we'll do a 36-month, which turns out to be like $5.50 a month.
Right. And I have to tell you, the 5X optical zoom is amazing.
That's why that tempted me, the 5X optical zoom. Although I don't understand, you know, the not the 15 Pro Max or anything, but on iOS 17, portrait mode adjustment post photo is way different. You know, you just hit edit and it'll just give you like 7 portraits. Now you got to do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I haven't even figured it out yet.
Yeah, same. It's
so more complicated than.
And also, if you take the photo on your iPhone and you edit an iPad, it's a slightly different UI because you have more real estate, but it's easier to understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So go to your iPad. I'm also wearing your iPad. Even though I'm not. Did I mention I also bought a Pixel 7 and a Pixel tablet this year? I think it's a very, very poor.
It's a good thing you're not spending money, Tom.
Yeah. But anyway, you have a 3D printer. Okay. So what did this wonderful machine end up costing? Just basic setup.
So I mean, actually, you know, when I've looked at 3D printers in the past, they were hundreds of dollars, mm-hmm. right? Plus all the modifications right. you had to do to them.
Plus supply.
The supply, yeah. which is hundreds more dollars. And so the first one I started looking at, they had them for like $200,
yeah.
$100.
Yeah.
And then the one that Barry recommended to me was $400.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, you know, that's more affordable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when I looked at the Bamboo Lab one, all of the reviewers said, the nice thing about this is you take it out of the box and it just works. You don't have to buy extra stuff. You don't have to mod it. You don't have to download special software. It comes with an app. The app just works. Everything just works. And so what 3D printers use is what's called a slicer.
Okay.
So it takes the model that you have built and it
like
creates.
Like a CT
scan. Yeah. Like a
microtome.
Yeah. Like a CAT scan or something.
Yeah.
So it creates layers, basically. Right. And then it lays down the plastic in those layers that it created. So the slicer app that this uses is actually based on an open source slicer. So it's been out there for a while. It's well supported. And it just works.
Just as an anecdote, in my misspent youth, I have microtome retina. I have this visualization.
So anyway, long story short, Because they had just released the new model, the price dropped from $699 to $599. So I thought, oh, great, I'm saving $100. Yeah. Well, I found out how much it cost to send it to Hawaii. Then I didn't no longer was saving $100. But so $730 altogether with shipping.
Yeah. So it's not like a real low end. I've seen some real low end free players at the like $250 range.
Right.
But this is, so this is a step up. This is a mid range consumer 3D.
And so one of the big differences is the size of things that you can print.
Yeah.
I can print something up to 250 millimeters square cubic.
Okay.
Yeah. So think of a Mandalorian helm. Yeah. Like I can print a full size Mandalorian.
Wow. But it would melt.
It would melt in the sun.
I'm gonna.
Yeah. You have to print it out of one of the like ABS plastic or something that won't melt. But then those are the toxic ones.
Right, right. Yeah, I know a friend of mine who did the Comic Seas podcast years ago in Yale. He used to have a 3D printing business. And so he had the professional. Somebody contracted him to make Captain America motorcycle, you know, like the one that was in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did. And it was beautiful. And painted it and everything. And I don't know if actually rideable. It was just something to have. But boy, that was such a helmet. And I should say that just the Gecko didn't include it.
And this is just printed at the standard resolution, if you will.
Yeah.
The way that they achieve resolution is by slowing down the printhead. So the particular one that I have is considered a high-speed printer.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fast. It prints the Gecko in about an hour.
I know a person that in his office, he had a bunch of really interesting things. One of them was a scale of the Saturn V rock. It was about maybe 5 feet high. And he 3D printed that. I think he said it's a couple of weeks. His next goal, I didn't see it. He didn't finish it before he retired and bring it to the office. Doing a life or two scale, one to one scale, R2D2.
Yeah, there's lots of things that you can break apart and print in pieces and then assemble.
So now that he's got it, I see, I'll attach a photo of some of the three things that Paul made, including that container for the desk that, like I said, the screw threads. What are you going to make? Any particular goal?
You know, I don't really have a goal, but the more I look at this, it's kind of amazing what's
different.
And I'm really practical thing, like even down to rubber feet for vibration damping and things like that. I had a problem with my door where the lock plate is off by a few millimeters. And so I can actually print a little inset to go in there.
Perfect.
Because what I was doing is I was chopping up credit cards and trying to jam them in there as a spacer.
That's what I would have done, but okay.
And so now I can print something that's going to fit exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't have to
deal
with it anymore.
And you don't need like the whole workbench for woodworking and stuff to build it.
You don't. However, I'm discovering that what you do need is a Dremel because, you know, some things that you print are going to leave little.
Right. Little edges.
Little edges and things. And so if you want it to be really beautiful and look like it's a resin cast model, you need one of those tools.
Did you order that yet?
Not yet.
Sorry. It's just one of those hobbies, right? Or that just you say, well, you know, I'll just get this thing and I'm kind
of
done.
I'm printing lots of fun things for my grandkids. Lots of like baby Yodas. And,
oh, that's cool.
You know, things that, minions, things like that.
Things that are fun for them.
That are fun for them.
Are you painting them for them or are you letting them paint?
I'm letting them.
I know all this stuff is green, but you'll see that in the photo. So I assume that the filaments come in different colors.
The filaments not only come in different colors, they also come in metallic. So there's bits of metal infused in the filament. So you get a shiny metallic finish.
Right.
They come in clear finishes.
Oh, that.
They come in carbon fiber infused filament. So there's lots of different things. The challenge with the metallic and the carbon fiber ones is that they do a number on the brass nozzle that's melting and distributes filament. So you have to replace your nozzles more frequently.
Yeah.
But this thing came with extra grease, extra nozzles, cleaning tools. It's the Apple of 3D printers. It comes with all the extra pieces you need.
I was actually thinking of Model A. Because, you know, the Model A car used to come with tools to repair it because there were no auto mechanics.
Right.
And so you bought a car. You're the mechanic.
Right.
I think my dad actually had a Model A, old used one.
Wow.
I mean, I never saw it. No, it's logged on by the time I was getting like rebuilt.
Oh, very cool. All right.
Well, I am really looking forward to seeing, literally seeing what you build next with this. I know that there's some, what's the word, that will, like online resources where you can get 3D models for 3D printers free.
Yeah. In fact, there's a ton of online resources and a lot of them have free prints that people have shared, like under a Creative Commons license. And then a lot of them have prints you can buy. So, oh, you want this particular thing and it looks better than all the other ones next to it? It's $3, right? It's $5. And it doesn't seem to, so far, I haven't found one yet that I downloaded. And
well, as tempted as I am to get one, I don't want to yell that.
It does take up a little bit of space.
Yeah, space I don't have. Unless I cleared away the space for my Raspberry Pi.
Well, after you finish your Swedish desk cleaning.
I'm getting closer.
You'll have more space.
Well, I'll actually have less space. I'll be getting rid of the rental I'm paying for the storage of my stuff. And George Carlin would have a field day just dealing with the late great. But, thanks all. Well, first of all, thanks for coming out that lunch, spending some time so I can see the output in 3D, which is awesome. Recording a podcast with the new lav mics they got. Some of our Fiza listeners know that Paul and I recorded the very first in-person lav mic, earlier generation. It did not work with iOS device, basically. It worked great with that. So the company sent me, and I told the company, I don't want to, they said, do you want a refund? I go, no, it works on my Android device, so I can use it. So, but if you ever have one with a, whoops, the iPhone, you know, they sent it to me free. And so,
he's that.
Nope. So Abs. And so, hats off to them. And I am recording this on an iPhone 14 Pro, the last one. I hope that will be recorded. And I think this will be Mobile News Podcast 470 Mobile Food 2. And we'll talk to you next time.